Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Before the show starts, make sure you visit the Breakfast Store for all the sweet Breakfast merch, like the super comfy Breakfast t-shirts and the very dapper Breakfast coffee mugs. Go there now, breakfaststore.com. People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope. I am your host, Brent Pope. My guest today, once again, is actor Christopher Chen. You know him from projects like Young Rock and American Auto. And that's not all. We had Breakfast at the new home state in Sherman Oaks. So let's go. It's the return of Christopher Chen today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
That could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
Breakfast.
What?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Let me screw through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics.
I love a cruller. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno/cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Christopher Chen, welcome back to the Tiny Studio LA in NoHo.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. I feel like I need to do, reunited and it feels so good.
Well, it's so good to be
here. I thought you were going to harmonize with me there.
Oh, I don't know, but I missed it. Yeah, I missed out.
Guess you didn't miss me at all.
Oh my God, the first time we did it, it was the start of the pandemic. Did we socially distance? I don't think we knew what that was yet.
I think we wore masks all over. And then just when we recorded, we took our masks off. And we were sitting like 10 feet apart in the studio. And
that's crazy because the studio is only 8 feet. So it's like, how does this work?
Yeah, you were in the hallway. How you doing out there, Chris? Anyway, it's been a while. That was Breakfast, what, 31?
Yes. And a lot's happened because I got to film over the COVID lockdown, and it was a little terrifying the first time. They flew me out to Atlanta, and I was like, I don't want to go. I'm scared.
Right. That's what we had talked on the show about, both of us auditioning for various parts on Young Rock.
Yes.
Which now has had 2 seasons.
Yeah, and it's got a third season, and I don't think they thought they were going to get a third season because they didn't end on a cliffhanger. They're like, the show's over, right? We got 2 seasons. And it's like, you get a third one, so come up with new stuff.
Figure out the story.
Yeah. I think we alluded to it on our last podcast together that we had auditioned for the show and part of it shot in Australia and we didn't know if we'd get it yet. And now it's had 2 full seasons and stuff. So it's crazy.
Different parts too we auditioned for, you know?
Yeah.
Lot of times we auditioned for the same parts, but this time it was different parts. And actually, I don't know we still do audition for the same parts sometimes because we'll talk and be like, oh, yeah, I went out for that.
Yeah,
or I didn't go out for that.
You mentioned it, and I forgot this. I got to do a fun role on the Netflix series Atypical. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, yeah, I auditioned for that too. It was supposed to be really out of shape and older rollerblader. And real quick, when I was at the audition, I was looking around at the people in the waiting room and everything, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're so much heavier and older than I am. And I thought this, and forever I'll tell it with this story. Only in a casting would you wish that you were older and fatter. In casting.
I know. I remember I left the room, and sometimes you can still hear them talk about you when you leave the room.
Uh-huh.
And I left the room, closed the door behind me, and I heard, too hot. So
I didn't get that because I booked it. It's like, you are fat and old enough. Because the punchline of the scene is about that. It's like, you're out of shape and you're old, so.
I still would have taken that part, but I'm glad you got it. Anyway, exactly. We talked about last time, you know, you kind of grew up part of the way in Northern California, mm-hmm. and then you're in Ohio around mm-hmm. Cleveland for a while.
Yeah.
And I know you've done, like, a lot of theater. I actually saw – that's another one of the things you've been doing since last time we talked. Like, I went and saw you in a production of Assassins.
Yeah, at East West Players.
Which is, I think, one of the lesser-known Sondheim.
It is. It is. And a lot of – it's also known for being one of the talkiest Sondheims. It also is known for that it has one of the few songs that has a – I love Sondheim, but it has a melody in it. There's a weird duet between the Squeaky Fromm from Charles Manson and – John Hinckley, mm-hmm. you know, Jodie Foster crush and then try to take out Reagan. They do a weird duet, but it's very Burt Bacharach, very pretty duet, you know. But the show is really, like, when you talk about, let's think of a topic for a musical. Oh, let's do one where it features every single person who's either attempted to assassinate or succeeded mm-hmm. in assassinating an American U.S. president. American U.S. U.S. president. And, you know, the history buffs and everything, there's four of them who succeeded. Two, you know about, the most famous mm-hmm. one, John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald. And then two you've never heard of, Leon Czolgosz and Charles Guiteau. Yeah, cool musical, Sondheim. It was way more challenging than I thought. You know, I was coming off of, oh, I haven't done musicals in a while. I've done a few Sondheim. Let's see how this works. Oh, this guy, my character was Sam Bick. Yeah. Who's always pictured you see in cast photos wearing a dirty Santa outfit.
But it is interesting because, like, there's a bunch of different assassins or wannabe assassins in it, and you're all kind of telling your stories over each other a little bit. Anyway, that was fun. That was at East West Players,
Players.
Kind of the Asian Actors Theater.
Yeah, it has two kind of monikers because our cast was mixed, not just Asians, but we had an African-American actor playing John Wilkes Booth, and they didn't specifically cast it that way, but we had Latinos in our company, which mm-hmm. was great. Kind of very Hamilton-style Sondheim, because all the characters, it's usually done all white assassins because it's historical. You match, you know, the character you're playing. But East West Players is known for being the longest-running theater of color in the nation. Also, the biggest producer of Asian-American or Asian works in the country. So they got the Asian. Before, they used to just shortcut and say, oh, the Asian theater, all-Asian theater.
Like, but I just did.
Yeah, but no, it is. It's in Little Tokyo. They have a space at the historic Union Church. It's been around since, I think, 1965. And, you know, famous movie stars from that era like Mako and James Hong helped start it. And it's an amazing theater. It does big productions and more fun, intimate plays. And it was an honor to be on that stage.
When you had some people even more famous than you in the show.
I know. Getty Watanabe.
Getty Watanabe.
Oh, my gosh. I got to act with him. He is hilarious and sweet and great and genuine. But yeah, go ahead. You tell us.
I mean, he was in 16 Candles. He played Long Duck Dong, which is a little cringy now, but, you know, his performance was good.
Yeah.
And he was really good in this musical, too.
Yeah, he was great. He played Charles Guiteau. I loved watching him work in his process. But yeah, he knows that how cringy and non-PC his role of it was. You know, he tells the story. He was just trying to get work.
Of course.
So he had a funny story about doing that role and being known for that role. And he tells this story. I love how blunt he can be. He said he had a young actor come up to him and said, oh, Mr. Watanabe, you are such a legend. You have done so much for Asian actors and, you know, just think so much of you. And he just turns to the kid and he goes, really? Have you seen my career?
That's funny.
Like, it's like I played some roles that just really didn't help our people along, did I?
I don't think anyone does self-deprecating, like, in general, Asian actors.
Yeah, we all do it. Yeah, but no, it was an honor to work with him. I worked with Joan Amadilia from the original Broadway run of Miss Saigon. She was the fourth Kim after Lea Salonga. I also worked with Adam Kaokep, who had two Broadway credits, recent ones. He did the original cast of Aladdin on Broadway and the original cast of the revival of Miss Saigon on Broadway. Yeah, it's the biggest play or musical I've done in a long time. Certainly the biggest show I've done in LA, but I'm more focusing on film and TV, but theater is my roots, the stage. And like you were saying before, like, you know, having, you know, I tell people I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. That's where I was based when I went to college at Northwestern University, where I studied theater. And my first job ever was singing and dancing in a review at Cedar Point, which is this 150-year-old theme park in Sandusky, Ohio. And they do all live shows. And I was just blown away because I got to go to that theme park when I was young. People in the Midwest would know.
Yeah.
And then I started singing there my first two seasons, and my first professional jobs were singing and dancing there. And then I did a lot of musical theater after that. After I went to other theme parks and cruise ships, I went back home to Ohio and did stage musicals, and then went to New York after that because I did a national tour of a Broadway musical. I did the show Guys and Dolls and toured with that in the U.S. and Canada. And then I said, I'm going to New York after that. I'm not going back to Ohio. And then I was there in New York for a couple years and doing well, doing regional shows, musicals. And then a friend offered to, you know, said, I have a friend who needs a roommate. You want to come to L.A.? And I said, yes. And I'm normally not impulsive like that. Usually I have to hem and haw, you know, for a long time and ruminate over stuff. And I go, I'm there. And I've been here ever since.
When was that?
That was like over 20 years ago now.
Wow.
It's a shout out to that friend who invited me to come live in L.A. from New York. He's Filipino-American actor Reggie Lee, who was on six seasons on the show Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the nicest people you ever meet, but he plays villains and all the time. On Grimm, he wasn't a villain, but he was so snarky. And I asked him one time, I go, do you ever get tired that you're typecast as a villain? And he goes, no. And you know what it's interesting is he's not evil looking. You know, he's like a good fit frame, not super imposing figure, but it's sort of like an anti-villain, you know?
Yeah.
There's just something, there's an edge to him, I guess, on screen, on camera. So he and I started out, we had the same dance teacher even in Ohio. Shout out to the great Dee Hillier. Any Cleveland people will know that name. Great dance teacher. She turned out dancers for like the Janet Jackson tours and Prince and Rockettes. And so Reggie started out as a dancer, singer in Broadway shows like the original Miss Saigon tour and on Broadway with Taye Diggs and Audra McDonald in Carousel on Broadway. I saw that production. And then I did kind of that, like I said, theme park, cruise ship to musical theater to L.A., film and TV, and then just this past year, I revisited theater for the first time in many years, getting to Sondheim's Assassins at Eastwood Players, and also followed that up with a production of Lauren Yee's King of the Yees at Sierra Madre Playhouse, mm-hmm. which is near Pasadena, directed by Tim Dang. And Tim Dang was the artistic director of Eastwood Players for 23 seasons before he retired from that. So,
wow.
Yeah. So theater, you always come back to it, but you and I are having a blast with film and TV stuff. And
well, something we thought might be fun to talk about is, you know, if you're at home and you don't work in TV, when you're watching a TV show, it probably seems easier to get it shot than less time consuming than it is. And so there's the times we're on set and they have to shoot it from your perspective. And they have to shoot it from behind you and they shoot the wide shot. And how it is to like have to try to make it new and fresh every time, but also try to stay kind of within the same parameters so that the editor has things to edit together. So it's just not like, oh, we can't put this with this because he was doing something completely different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. For editing, because they take like all those, the three major ones you mentioned, you know, the big wide shot, the over, you know, the perspective over your shoulder to the other actors. And then when it's close up on you. And make it look like it's all happening real time, and it's not. It's all filmed separately. And as an actor coming from stage, where it's just you on the stage doing it all in real time, you know, having to match yourself is a challenge. You kind of have that third eye. It's like, and then you have help. You can ask the script supervisor, "Was I holding this in my right hand or left hand? What was I doing?" And then you know, learning to match what you're doing because you do it a lot over and over again, same way, same pace, everything. And then occasionally, especially in comedies, they'll say, now, fun run. Do a take for you, however you want to do it. Because the director, I have everything I need to edit. This past year, this thing that happens, that there's two parts, two versions of it. One happened on American Auto, and the other one has happened recently on Young Rock, American Auto, and another film I did with one of the famous Chris's. And it's
Chris Everloid. No?
Tennis.
Chris Pratt? Christopher Nolan.
There's lots of Chris's, including
Christopher Chen. Christopher Lee?
Ooh.
Christopher Chen.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Christopher Robin.
You're good at the Chris naming. You would win.
Everybody
on
hates
talk
Chris,
show.
That guy.
You would totally win on a
Chris Rock.
Chris talk show. Yeah.
Chris Christie?
Could be any of them.
No.
Oh, wow. You know your Chris's. So when they turn around to you to do your close-ups, that's called your coverage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they start with that, but not usually. And I found this out on American Auto. I had this I guess the it would be the punchline of the scene. The one of the characters that you got to work with, Ty White, his character Jack, is accidentally having to take coffee shop orders. It's like, oh, you're going to go get coffee? I'd like this. I'd like this. And then it turns to my character, and then I have this long order that most people would have to write down. And so I had to spit it out, this whole long thing. So when we were doing, you know, his coverage, meaning the cameras away from me, and then the master shots, I was nailing it, this thing. I just spat it out, this long order. Then the camera turns around to me, and I mess it up. And I'm like, but I just did it a bunch in a row perfectly. And then Ty turns to me and goes, Chris, this always happens. Camera turns around on you. It's your coverage. It's your close-ups. You're going to get nervous. It happens to all of us. It happened to you. Don't worry about it. You know, you'll get it. And he's like, ah. Oh. But it's like, it was such a weird, I think, phenomenon to me to have. Like, I just nailed it a bunch in a row, and then now it's on me. And then, yeah, but it is added pressure and everything. And a similar thing to that, this I want to share with your viewers or listeners. There's no one seeing us. That when messing up in front of major celebrities, I remember on Young Rock, the second season, there was a little COVID mess up with a test. So one of the other actors, they wouldn't let her on set until she retested. They had to wait 24 hours. So she was in the scene with me. And so I just would take over her lines for this one segment. So they're new lines. And I was in my trailer and just memorizing, thought I had them down. It's like, great, ready to go. We get on set and I'm sitting across from Dwayne Johnson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's like, shoot, I just learned these lines. They're kind of complicated, but I can handle it. And the first take, I just blew him right in front of him. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to mess up in front of The Rock, and I just did. Then the director's like, Chris, it's not your coverage. Don't worry about it. Just use your script.
Did you try to explain to him why? You said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The reason I messed up my line was, and he said, it doesn't matter why you messed up your line. Did that ever happen?
That's exactly what happened.
No. Did he ever call you a jabroni? That would have been amazing.
Oh, that would have been amazing. That actually happened. He used that word in another, for the storyline in that same season. But
oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Yeah, so it was awesome. But yeah, so he was totally patient. I did that coverage with him. It's fine. Then there was a turnaround. It's like, oh, you can't use your script. You're like nervous now and you can't. So Randall Park, who's also in the series playing himself in the future, 12 years from now, and he's not an actor anymore. He was so nice. He goes, Chris, you want to run lines? I'm like, oh my God, you're a major star. Why do? And he ran lines with me. And then when it was on my coverage, I nailed it. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Wait, let's replay that scene. Hey, Chris, would you like to run your lines? I thought it might be helpful to you if we could run them. And then on your coverage, you'll get great. It'll be really good. I think you're doing a great job. I don't know if you remember, I used to be an actor too. I was on the show called Fresh Off the Boat. And now I do Marvel movies.
But, oh my God. That story was just to set up your great Randall Park impression.
Yeah, yes.
That was amazing.
Thank you for teeing that up.
And you say his line that he says every episode about, I used to be, I don't know.
That's okay, so I have to plug Young Rock a little bit because I do think it's a very original show.
Uh-huh.
Not only does it have The Rock on it, which is not, we probably won't see him doing a comedy TV show again. I don't know. Maybe.
No.
But it's got Randall Park playing himself in the future as he somehow failed out of acting or something. And there's always, every episode is mentioned The Rock. I don't know if you remember, I used to be an actor too. Yeah. And The Rock's always like, yeah, I think you mentioned it once or twice.
Every time.
But what makes the show unique to me is for a network comedy to be shot in three different timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three different people playing The Rock at three different stages of his career or his life.
Yeah.
And in three different places, too. One of them's like
Hawaii.
One's mostly in Miami.
Yep.
And then I guess there's also in the future of Miami / Nashville.
Yeah.
And also in the future when he's running for president.
Right. That's the part I do. It's 12 years in the future. He's running for president of the United States. And so hence flashbacks of how he got to where he is today as a candidate. And he flashbacks at age 10 in Hawaii, age 15 in, like you said, Nashville's this second season. It was
younger wrestling career, like finishing college and younger wrestling career.
Yeah, so no,
like
that's the thing.
Miami / Nashville.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So 10 years old, he's meeting all the wrestlers from like the 70s and as a 10-year-old in Hawaii. Okay, so that's Young Rock number one. Young Rock number two is high schooler. Up to shenanigans first in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where he started high school, then in Nashville.
Yeah. So,
and then third, Young Rock, is him when he's 20, and he's playing football for the Miami Hurricanes. Then he starts trying to get into the Canadian Football League. And then the second season, it starts to touch on him getting into the family business of being a wrestler.
I don't know if there's another show either, though, that's like a lot of it is based on his true life.
Yes.
And then you got the rest of it that's like completely made up because it's in the future.
It's in the future, yeah. He's like, and people are like, is he going to run? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, there's rumors that he's actually going to run. I'm like, oh, I don't know that. Should I ask him? But he's super great to work with. He is such a major star in industry, but he's such a down-to-earth person. Also, what's great about this show, if people haven't tuned in, it's free on Hulu and Peacock, mm-hmm. is there's two seasons worth. The premise, you know, of flashback shows, like you said, it's usually one period. This is three periods
right.
that they keep going back to. The other neat thing is usually it's just done voiceover. He does voiceover on it, but this is where me and Chelsea Crisp, for an actress from...
She was one of my co-stars on Fresh Off the Boat. She played Ray Wise's wife.
Yes. And then in this one, she plays the campaign manager for the Rocks campaign. And I play the PR manager, Sandy. That's his name. For the campaign, and The Rock doesn't listen to either of us, or Dwayne Johnson, or we call him DJ on set. DJ Dwayne
oh,
Johnson.
Oh, well. Hashtag humble brag.
Yeah. So it's the four of us, and we shoot those future episodes in Atlanta, but for both seasons, and so it's Dwayne Johnson, Randall Park, that you just did, and Chelsea Crisp and me, you know, running his campaign, and we're trying to run it and do the numbers and the appearances and all that and the speeches. And meanwhile, he's talking to Randall Park, who's no longer an actor. He's an entertainment reporter. And he asks him all these questions and he flashes back to, you know, his dad growing up and his mom and his grandma. And because his granddad was a famous wrestler and his dad was a wrestler, Rocky Johnson. And so he continued the family business. And now we know where he's at. But yeah, just finishing up, messing up in front of him. I just died. It also happened on that same... Oh, cover, you're doing fine with the speech on that, one of the famous Chris's movies. I did the speech fine when it was not my coverage, and they turned around on me, and I messed up in front of that famous Chris, plus four-time Oscar nominee Annette Bening and Danny DeVito and Jennifer Jason Leigh. I'm like, why? I messed it up. No one's going to remember.
Well, there is something different about it, though, when you like you know that the camera's not on you, and you can just kind of be...
Exactly.
You know, a little bit chill, then all of a sudden the camera's on you. Because you can, I mean, even if you're not staring at the camera, you can see the camera.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there's more than one camera at the same time,
right.
too.
Pointed right at you. And you're like, oh, you're not, and you don't look into it. That's a worse mistake than messing up your lines when you look into the actual camera, which is different than commercials. Commercials, you talk directly in the camera sometimes. But yeah, just having that added pressure is it. And it's a nice lesson to learn and share. With people, and it's something you take for granted because it happens. It happens to a lot of people. I think the more comfortable I'll get with saying long speeches in front of celebrities, the better I'll get with it. Let's hope I have that problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a nice problem to have.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line. Prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
It is something you just kind of have to get used to,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's not something, as many times as we've done plays or musicals, there's never a camera right in your face, and you don't have to do it over and over, which you think, like, well, shouldn't it be easier to do it over and over? But then, you know, eventually maybe something else, you just, something pops into your head and you're like, you blank.
Yeah.
Or you've said it so many times that, you know, when you say the same word over and over and all of a sudden it doesn't, is that really a word? Like, knife, knife, knife. Knife? Wait, is that a word? You know, it just sounds weird. And so you've done the same speech over and over and over. That's why you have to try to kind of keep it fresh and maybe give yourself slightly different reasons for what you're doing sometimes, just to, so that you don't get in this rut of like, because you don't want to say this, the line, the same over and over and over.
Right,
you do want
right.
to give them some variations.
Variations, and, yeah. Sometimes those little happy accidents where you said a line differently or did a different reaction becomes the, you know, the one that they want. They're like, wow. Just real quick, several years ago, I did a national commercial for DirecTV, and I had to walk into a glass wall, and I was using my stage training to do that. I would count my steps and use my right foot to hit the glass wall first and then pretend to bounce off of it with my face, like I ran into it,
yeah,
right? And it was going fine, and they had a whole team to reset it and everything, and we did different things. Like, we used where I walked in with fried chicken, and I walked into it with file folders, and then the one they used was I walked into it with a salad. And the take they used was actually a mistake take, because I was a little too close when I hit it with my foot, and I walked into the glass wall. It hadn't happened on any of the take, and I knocked the entire plexiglass that I walked into totally out of frame. I heard metal breaking and everything, and then you see me react. Like, it looks like I'm going, what did I just walk into? But it's more like, oh my gosh, I just ruined the set. I just broke the set. I broke the set. Oh my God, help me. They're going to fire me. And I looked and I did that and I just finished the take, like, with a big thumbs up. Like, yeah. Because the premise was all of us in this DirecTV thing is like, why do people still go to cable? You use cable after, you know, DirecTV has been number one in customer service in all these years. And it shows all these people, montage of all these people hurting themselves badly in situations or something inconvenient, like having a soda explode in their face or getting hit by a shopping cart or sitting in gum. And then I'm the guy who walks into a glass wall not realizing. And that's why, because we like getting hurt. And I'm like, yeah, with my thumbs up. And I ran up to the directors and producers right after. It's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. While the team was fixing the whole set immediately, they were that's what they're there for. And they're like, oh my gosh, no, that was amazing. And I'm like,
they're like, hey, don't worry about it, Chris. Hey, it's me, Randall. Like, I direct commercials for DirecTV now. Hey, it's an accident. We'll fix it. They'll get it back up. Don't worry about it.
No. That's amazing. That's right. He was the director. Crazy. He's such an amazing
person. I do love Randall Park. I'd love doing the impression of him because I love him so much, and he's so funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but he has that voice. He's directing now, and he finished now they're promoting. He did a series, I think it's for Netflix, about the last Blockbuster. He was shooting that while I was
Oh, they're doing like a narrative, like a scripted series
uh-huh,
about it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, because
yeah.
I like the documentary about the yeah. last, it's in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, so they're doing a comedy, a script comedy, and he's in that cast. And then he shot that in Vancouver, I think. Then he rushed off to the East Coast to direct a movie. And so he's doing it all, and he's a great, great guy. And
wow.
So it's such an honor to work with him, and he's such a pleasure to work with. But yeah, that commercial. So mistake take, the lesson from that is always finish your takes.
Yeah.
The only person who's allowed to yell cut is right. the director. It's not you. So unless you're about to be killed, you don't yell cut.
It's almost like in theater, right? You would never think, younger actors, that maybe you're just doing theater.
Right.
Or you would never think when you're doing a play, if you mess up, to just stop.
Nope.
And start over.
Nope.
Same thing in front of the camera. Just keep going, because it may be something that you did that seemed to you was terrible, but is hilarious to everyone else.
Yes.
Or something else will happen, or they had a great take so far. You just can't stop. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Because it might be that happy accident. There's nothing better than messing up a happy accident and they can't use it.
Right. No, that you ruined it. And that was, when I see it, even seeing it online, it looks amazing. I smashed that salad so hard against, because I, you know, it was a mistake. I smushed that it did that thing where it went,
yeah.
water sliding down.
That's
the
funny.
Side.
That's funny.
Yeah. No. And then in dramas too, you heard online that Leonardo DiCaprio in, was it Django Unchained or? Yeah, where he smashes down. He's still in the scene. He smashes his down in glass, and you see him on camera pick glass out of his hand because he, not a prop like glass, a real glass. He smashed it, and later on he had to have, like, I think stitches and stuff, but he cut his hand on camera by accident, and it looks amazing. And Daryl Hannah in Blade Runner, she runs and slips her arm through glass thing. Almost cuts her arm off, but they use that take.
I have to tell you, that reminds me of something that I saw my wife Tressa do. She was in the movie Evolution. I remember that movie with David Duchovny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she heard it from someone else. And maybe, and I tried this the other night. What it is you're working on something, and if you're the last one in the scene, like it's the scene where you all come out and then everyone leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the last one, you don't just leave exactly the same time as everyone. You kind of linger, look around like, oh, what's that? And she did that in Evolution. They all got out of this van.
Yes.
And they're like, students, get over here. And they all leave, and then she stops and, like, looks around for a couple seconds. She got that extra couple seconds on camera.
That's brilliant.
So I was shooting this show the other night that I can't talk about other than to say, like, I was shooting this show the other night, and we're in front of this really coolly decorated thing in front of us, and we're all leaving this event. I have to be very vague about this. And I'm walking with the characters playing my wife, and we're all walking off. Then I kind of stop, and she keeps going, and I stop, and I go, like, I look at this thing, and we do that like for five or six takes. And then after that, I hear the director go,
Brent, could you just, you got to leave with your wife. Do not stop.
You're like, what? It's my bit. Come on.
It's my thing. I was thinking, oh, we shot it like seven times that way, and I only shot it like one time the other way, so.
Yeah, it's like, which way is it going to be? Right? They'll cut it where it's like you're just about to look around and cut.
Yeah, cut.
But no, that's brilliant. I love stealing stuff, and I'm going to steal that for next time I have to leave last minute.
You know, if it presents itself that way, you don't want to like force it, but if it is something that you could do, it's kind of funny to do if you're the last one leaving anyway.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And she had heard it from a different actor. I don't remember who it was.
Yes. Oh my gosh, these things that we pass on to other people. I don't know if other people mess up in front of celebrities because on your coverage, but you know, it happens.
No, it's a good thing to know though, because even if you're not to that level in your career yet, you may be someday. Hopefully you will be, and then you've already heard like, okay, if I do mess up, I do remember them saying that this could happen and not to freak out about it. Because when you're in that all these situations for the first time, your tendency is to, like, kind of freak out when something goes wrong, right?
Yeah.
But these things happen all the time.
Exactly. And we forget that the celebrities mess up, too. They're doing it right in front of you. When they're messing, but they're celebrities, so you're like, it's okay when they do it. It's not okay when I do it. But it is okay because we're all working, and they just need some good takes. And this is where I got it, where I know how to adjust when it's happening. I worked on the final series episode. So the series finale episode of The Mindy Project, starring Mindy Kaling.
Mm-hmm.
And my scene was directly opposite of Mindy, Chris Messina, and the amazing Rhea Perlman, who's the former wife of
Danny DeVito.
Yeah. And it was great working with them. And so, you know, she had these, and they were trying different lines and different things, and sometimes she would mess up, and then it got to my coverage, and I would mess up, and I would kind of, like, hold there going, does the director say cut or anything? It was a big guest star, but I wasn't as experienced yet. And Mindy just turns to me at one point and says, Chris, on this show, you're allowed to reset yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning you just pause, go back to the beginning of the line, say it the way it's supposed to be said, and then you'll be fine. And then they can edit from that way. I'm like, oh,
I've done that before too. Yeah. And it just gives them more chances to like, you know, they don't have to cut.
When you watch with the veteran actors and the celebrities, when they do mess up, then it doesn't even, you don't even remember the mess up because like you said, they don't bring attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
They just pause, go back to the beginning of that line and start again. Sometimes I did that with that in the recent Chris movie. I was messing up, you know, on my coverage, and then I couldn't save it. So I just kind of raised my finger and said, I'm just going to start from the beginning. And I started from the beginning of the speech, and they didn't have any issues with it. And you just do it, and then you have a clean edit, you know, and you don't need to do the dang it or, oh, I messed up. Because, like, it's okay. You reset yourself. Like Mindy said, reset, and then, you know, then you don't have to yell cut, you know, meaning the director will yell cut if he needs to, but you don't yell cut. You just reset. And,
right.
Yeah, that's how you handle it.
And I don't know if we've talked explicitly about this on the show, but, like, we do a lot of times talk about, like, co-stars and guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's the overall thing where, like, all of you working together on the show are all co-stars together. But what we're talking about is if your billing is as a co-star on the show, that means you probably have probably one scene or two shorter scenes, and you have maybe one to five lines. You can even have a co-star with no lines if it's like some kind of big reaction that's everyone's going to see that's relevant to the scene.
Yeah.
Guest star is you have probably more than one scene for sure, and maybe three, four scenes throughout the episode, and you have, you know, more lines than that. So,
yeah. Sometimes some bigger speeches. I used to get that confused when I was young, younger or starting out, and I noticed some other people do too. It's like, co-star sounds as bigger.
It sounds bigger, right? Because you're a co-star. You're a star along with the star.
Yeah, I'm co-starring with
guest
stars. Yeah,
like, right.
And then you know that's a big deal.
I'll tell you what you want is the and, you know, where it just says at the end and Chris Chan.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Because then you're like the big star that's just deigning themselves to come back and be on some TV show, right?
Yeah. Like, I watched for that kind of billing. It's like, that's nice billing. And Brent Pope. And introducing Brent Pope.
Oh, and introducing. I mean, I think we're too young to be and I hope we're too old to be and introducing.
I know.
But, you know.
Usually it's like some new fresh
or
face.
Like we guys in their 40s and in their first time ever.
I know. It's like, oh, that's sad. That's just sad. That's their first time. But no, that designation. Co-stars, I'll also interject this to any other aspiring actors listening. Co-stars, the one, you know, one-liners, two-liners, those, you know, coming in, those are actually much harder to audition and book.
Yeah.
Because you have to have this whole arc on, sometimes it's one word, sometimes it's three words, and you have to know how that character fits into the scene and fits into the episode.
And a lot of times when you get those, you have to know how they fit into the scene or the episode, but you a lot of times don't get the rest of the script.
You don't.
Because otherwise, then they're sending the script to like 100 people that will not get it, and they just don't want to risk things being leaked.
Yep, yep.
Now, let me ask you this. This is fun. What was your first co-star you ever did, first TV co-star?
First TV co-star with I'll go for my current agent.
What was your first one ever? Like the oldest embarrassing first co-star. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, the oldest embarrassing co-star?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, this is bad.
I'll tell you mine too.
This is bad. This is going back to Cleveland. And it was this local PBS show that had this beagle that solved mysteries called Sherlock. Okay. And I had to, so embarrassing. I had to pretend that I was in, like, Tibet. And they dressed me up like that. And then I had this mutton stew that I was going to share with Sherlock. And they had that Dinty Moore beef stew they just plopped into a bowl. And I'm talking at the, and mind you, this beagle can out-act me and everyone else on the cast. Turn to this old beagle, and I'm like, you know, I turn him in a really bad generic Asian accent and go like, mutton is the food of my people, Sherlock.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I just, when I saw the footage, I was like, oh, kill me. Why? Why? That was my first one, and I,
But see, now you're doing guest stars. What was your first guest star?
Oh, first guest star. It was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and I had to play.
Oh, that was your first guest star?
I think it was, yeah, because they came about the same time. The other one was Criminal Minds I did. But I think that was after. But it was, I had to play a bursar, which people who went to college still don't even know what that is.
Right.
So that's where you pay your tuition. That's where you get your registration sticker on for your ID. The bursar's office of the bursar. So I play this bursar opposite Vella Lavelle's character, Heather, on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And I had to tell her that she was no longer allowed to go to this community college because she took every course that we had to offer. And in a nice way, going, you're graduating, and whether you like it or not. And it sets up a fun song and dance thing right after that she does. But I remember that scene, that auditioning for that. Again, I was like looking, and there was a reference to when that character, he was Bursar Ned, and he graduated, and he mentioned this rock song that he had either the lyrics on his graduation cap or it was playing. And I had to look up this rock song because I didn't know it. And I did the math, and I figured out that, he's either based on either high school or college graduation he's referring to, he's either 54 or 58 years old. And I'm like, I'm not quite that old, but you know what? I'm just going to do it, right? And all the guys in the casting office at the audition were way older than me. And one guy even had a toupee, like a bad toupee. Like, like not a good Hollywood toupee. Just like, oh my gosh. But they were all older. And again, it's like, oh, too bad I'm not older. But I ended up booking it. And the nice thing is, even when we shot it, when they cast me, they didn't have that reference anymore, even when we shot it. It wasn't like I said the line and they cut it out afterwards.
Yeah.
So that one was fun because that scene was an extension of something that I learned from my audition coach called, he didn't make this up, but he stressed this a lot. Sometimes your job as the co-star or guest star is to stop the leads from getting what they want. It can be a hostess at a, you know, restaurant where she's like, oh, I'm sorry, you need a reservation 3 weeks in advance, that kind of thing. And my coach calls it salting the blade and twisting the knife. Mm-hmm. That's your job to do to the lead. You know, you're not going to get what you want. So that scene was all that, the whole entire scene, telling this character that you don't get to be astute anymore. But I did it in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why I booked it. I'm like, oh, no, honey, no, you're not. You can't be coming here anymore and taking classes because you took all of them, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's really important to know. A lot of times those one-liners are your twist, salting the blade, twisting the knife. You, the lead, aren't going to get what you want. And then confusion and comedy ensues. The other thing that you and I know a lot, we're part of the exposition. We give information.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I just rewatched your Better Things.
Oh, yeah.
And you come in and give the solution. Like, you just drive by in a van and casually go, oh, you know, oh, like, the disaster's over. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so what was that line? There was a blackout, and I'm driving by in the DWP car. Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's over. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay, thanks, Brent. You saved it.
That's what I do a lot. I elevator repairman, I don't know, taking out the garbage.
Yeah.
Driving the DWP truck. I've done that a lot. Yeah, I've done solved a lot of problems or been the annoying guy that created the problem.
Isn't it great when you get to do it in, like, one or two lines? Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Your DWP guy, the power guy on the, I'm going to finish this thing and I'm going to ask you a quick question.
Okay.
And I'll tell you mine. But yeah, you just come along and in two lines, three lines, you have solved the entire crisis.
Yep.
It's like, here I am. I solved it. You know, it's like, that's tech.
Well, that's a funny comedy thing to have. It's like, oh my God, this is so messed up. I don't know how to solve it. You know how to solve it? None of us know how to solve it. Hey, you. Oh yeah. So, let me flip the switch.
Yeah. Okay. Also, in that episode, I don't know if you know the answer, they had like a full on tornado warnings alert.
Mm-hmm.
And that one daughter was panicking, and before you come along, I'm like, they never explain why there's a tornado warning alert going.
I don't think it was a tornado alert. It was just like some alarm went off, and there was a blackout.
Right, because we don't get tornadoes in SoCal.
So sorry to stop the party, but we're having so much fun with Christopher Chen that we're going to have to extend this to next week when we have part two of the return of Christopher Chen on Breakfast.
Enjoy Breakfast with Brent Pope? Help support it by buying some awesome swag like the comfy shirts and the beautiful coffee mugs. Go to breakfaststore.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.